Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, we got our guy. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man. It's good to have you listening on a Friday. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. We'll tell you what we've got cooking for the weekend. But we are going to spend a lot of time not only on last night, but looking ahead. Because as I've said all along, Mike Bell, it's not about last night only. It's about the complete draft, which will happen between now and the rest of the weekend. Guys, we have two picks today. We actually picked third tonight. It's pick 35, but we're actually picking third. So, and then an early, pick after that in the fourth round, or the third round, should I say. So we have a lot of more work to do, Mike. There's a lot more that can be accomplished in this draft, but we got to start with the reaction of our wonderful city. We love it. How people are responding to the pick last night, which was, if you missed it, I don't know how, Kyle Pitts from Florida. And, Mike, it's been, ironically, it's been a mixed reaction,
Yeah, and that's why I was kind of like, I didn't give it the full, hey, man. I'm disgusted, Carl. I got to be honest with you. I'm disgusted with some of our fans. And they're not even, that thing is, they're not Falcon fans. They are the blow-ins when it suits their style. When we're winning, they're in. When we're not, they're out. And I've been going to war with some of these guys today, and I'm like spent between that and mowing the lawn. Bro, by the way, I mowed the lawn today. You'd be proud of me.
I was gonna say, well, you got a big yard too, so.
Oh, dude, I think I bit off a little bit more than I could chew. But I mean, and you and I have talked about it. There were only so many things we could do, and I don't know how many guys listen to our show or how many folks just don't grasp how this works. This is our team. Matt wasn't going anywhere. I like the idea of Fields, but, the idea of a guy sitting there for 2 years when you're really strapped for cash doesn't make a lot of sense. So we went with a game changer, Carl, a guy that could maybe be the next great thing at tight end slash this hybrid wide receiver we're seeing all over the league. I like the pick. I'm excited about it. I'm kind of disgusted that people are bagging on Ryan as if somehow this thing's going to be a disaster. And we don't even know what this is going to be with the new regime.
So I said this today around, 1 o'clock, because I got off of social media last night, probably after pick 17, 18 maybe. Mm-hmm. I put the phone down. I started, getting myself ready for bed so I could watch. I'm being serious. So I could watch the rest of the draft while I was chilling. And I didn't get the sense of what was going on from a lot of folks. And, again, I do think it's a small amount. I don't think this speaks for the masses, okay? So for all the negativity that you hear, and by the way, don't listen to people that aren't here. Don't listen to people that don't live here or that not in our marketplace. Don't listen to those fools, okay? But it's a small amount that are speaking for the masses that say, for whatever reason, this was a bad pick, or, you know, I'm frustrated that we didn't go with Justin Fields. I've even heard the notion, which is completely stupid, that, well, you know, we wanted a black quarterback. The GM's black, okay? Anthony Robinson, who's director of college scouting, is black.
Right.
I want to clear this up right now, and I want to get this crap out of the way. Dwayne Jones is assistant director of college scouting. He's black. They're not just picking a guy because we want a black quarterback. They're picking the best player who's going to help our football team. And if it happened to be a black quarterback, we all love Justin Fields. Hell, I'm rooting for the kid. I want to see him do well. But it didn't happen. So please don't start that crap, okay? Understand what our front office looks like right now and understand that they are trying to bring in the best players they possibly can. So let's put that aside and let's talk about why you should be happy today, why you should be ecstatic. And the draft's not done. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can find us, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, and the radio show is Dukes and Bell 92.9.
And by the way, I appreciate you going there because, you know, it's awkward for me to go there. We can go there on the show. We do. We tackle these issues. But it's like I said, it's underlying. It's an underlying thing. I had a guy today, Fields got screwed by George, and he got screwed by the Falcons. I'm like, are you out of your... First off, he's got a tremendous opportunity in Chicago. And again, guys, for some of you clowns, maybe we could trade Julio to the Bears, and you guys can move to Chicago, okay, and enjoy shoveling the snow. I mean, I'm a Falcon fan. I'm in it to win it. I haven't liked the stuff Ryan's done over his career. I've criticized Matt Ryan. But you know what, Carl? These guys have got me so fired up. It's become like an existential thing now. I want to see this team win as it's presently composed. I didn't think that maybe the quick turnaround would work. But some of these guys have gotten me so hot today under the collar. And again, Kyle Pitts is a great guy. Excited to see what he's going to do. Arthur Smith might actually know what he's doing, okay? Dan Quinn, Dirk Cutter, Thomas Dimitroff proved at the end they had lost their fastball if they ever had one. We got a new regime. So for guys who want to sit there and just, I don't know, maybe Matt with some protection, the man's been sacked 131 times in 3 years, and an actual run game, Carl, you know, as a former MVP can maybe do something. Maybe he's got something left. But to sit and write it off because you didn't get the quarterback that you thought fit what you wanted, what do you want? Is it style over substance? I mean, it just irks me because we've got some good things in this city, but this stuff always bubbles up to the surface anytime. And to be quite honest with you, Carl, just to double down on it, I'm actually now happy we didn't get Fields because the damn quarterback controversy would have been toxic.
Yeah, it may have been. And you know what? That may be a discussion that the Falcons actually had internally. They'll never tell us. But maybe they had that discussion, Mike. And here's the other thing. Why are you going to cause drama when you don't need to? Remember I asked the question the other day when I said we were going to go Kyle Pitts? I said, what's your why? Why are we drafting this guy? You didn't need the drama. We have a quarterback. I don't care if you don't like him. I don't care if you don't think he's mobile enough. I don't care if you don't think he's good enough. I don't care. We have one. So how are we going to make our team better? Here's why you should be excited. We have the potential to be one of the most exciting offenses in the NFL. Offense sells tickets. It's why we went to the Super Bowl. I think everybody just kind of gets lost in that, Mike. You know, went to the Super Bowl, guys, scored 35 damn points a game. That's why we went to the Super Bowl. So we have the chance to be not only exciting, okay, which gets me excited, but also to put up a lot of points. Now, somebody said to me last night, they said, oh, well, we're going to see a lot of 35-30 games. I don't care as long as it's going to 35.
Right.
I just want wins. So,
and by the way, you and I, I'm sorry, we talked about, and I don't know if guys, because of the casual fan, and I don't know who these people are on social media. And again, as you said, social media is such a small sample size, but unfortunately, it does get people like me get to lose their cool. Carl, it's not a great defensive draft. And if we were going to trade down to address defense, you had to have a trade partner. As we saw, other than what the Giants and Cowboys were able to do to get out of their pick, there was no way to do it. You know, I thought Carolina might dump out of their pick. And you notice how the clock wound down, Carl, almost every pick in the top 15.
Yeah,
we couldn't trade down. It's guys are like, well, why didn't we get Ojulari? I don't know. 32 other teams didn't draft Azeez Ojulari. Lucky we'll have him at 35.
He will be there, by the way, if you want to go there. And we're going to talk about what we should do in rounds two and three here and with our, you know, picks today. We have two. But as far as how this draft played out, and just go back and take a look. And if you watch it live last night, you guys know this. I mean, everybody's talking about the Patriots. Look at Bill Belichick. He just sat there and waited. Chicago had to make the move they made because right. they're in dire straits for a quarterback, so they had to move up when they saw one of these guys available. So that was a smart play by the Bears. It might be the smartest play they've made in a decade. So
same GM who moved up for Trubisky kind of had to like validate himself.
Correct. So for us, we said this. It didn't make sense for any of the teams we thought might be our trade partners to come down when a lot of the guys they wanted were falling right in their lap. So, even the Cowboys, they moved back a couple of spots just for value, but they didn't come down to four. So all of that, again, you need somebody to trade with. Bottom line is this, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. It's the day after the draft. And Mike and I always project, what's it going to be like? You should be happy today that we have arguably a guy that could be the best player in this draft. And that's not hyperbole. I know Lawrence has got arm talent, and I know I feel good about what Justin can possibly do in the league. I'm telling you, from an impact standpoint, this guy may be the best player in this draft. And so from that standpoint, now it's up to Art Smith and his coaching staff and Dave Ragone and all these guys. How are you going to use him? How are we going to get him in the end zone? How are we going to get first downs with this guy? How are we going to improve our offense? From that standpoint, we should be happy. What we do today, Mike, to me, is even more important than what we did last night.
Right. This is where the rubber hits the road, guys. And there's a lot of things. You know, Carl and I joked around about all the mock drafts I've done. When you trade down, I mean, there's if you want to try to grab a running back. No, I don't know what the game plan is. They might go safety, okay? Trevon Moehrig might be there. That would be a steal, Carl, for the Falcons at 35. We need a safety, right?
Yes.
I mean, you've got the second tier of corners. You know, if you're into that sort of thing, and we'll talk about the corners that are off the board, there was a run on corners at one point. But if you feel Asante Samuel is a guy worth taking, he would be there. We already mentioned Ojulari. But what I'm excited about is grabbing a guard or a tackle that will play guard for a year or two and then be the heir apparent to Jake. All of those things, guys, and that's just at the second. And then, as Carl said, third and the fourth, this is where everyone said it is a draft where the money's going to be made on Friday night.
We need impact players. We need starters. We don't need guys that are going to be sitting on the bench learning. Today, you're going to get two more of those guys. And when you talk about, Mike, who's left, I got to tell you, you also have the big defensive tackle from Alabama sitting there, Mike, who was a first-round talent who fits perfectly in a 3-4 to be your one technique. I mean, you got some choices here. But how do you want to improve your defense if you're going to go defense tonight and do that with the second and third picks? 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can always text us. Find us on social media, ATL929 The Game on Twitch. Make sure you subscribe and get that exclusive content. Matty Ice, not done yet. That's his Twitter handle. Mm-hmm. He says, people here in the ATL, we're about to score 40 points a game. Hashtag rise up. Everybody's saying that they're, disappointed in this pick. I just don't understand it. I'm reading some of these comments from some of the folks who have responded to that text or tweet that I put out there. Why are you still mad or why are you mad? And it's funny, Mike. I think some people just are mad to be mad, and they don't even know why they're mad about the pick. It's like, really?
Hey, and again, I texted Carl last night. We were texting back and forth when I started to see the venom getting spewed. Look, maybe we're too close to it. All I did for the past 3 months was mock drafts and read up on everybody. I'm not trying to say I'm more qualified on this. You know what? I'm freaking more qualified on this than you. You guys don't even know what the hell you're talking about, okay? We told you about the cap ramifications. We told you Matt wasn't going anywhere. As one guy, I heard a guy on Randy and Andy say, what, are we going to have a paid intern in Fields for 2 years doing nothing? I mean, we have no money. We still may have to get rid of Julio because we can't afford the roster and the guys we're going to add in this draft. So we went for the most impactful player we could find, and that was Kyle Pitts. And that's why. Okay? And as we said, now everything else is up for grabs. We need everything, Carl, and hopefully we'll get it in the next couple of days.
Christian Barmore, I'm going to raise my hand, okay, and tell you guys, I actually like our linebackers. I know some of you may not be sold on Fourier. Go look at his numbers. The kid continues to improve. Debo's fine. Go get some big defensive linemen that can play 3-4. Christian Barmore is going to be there tonight. We'll see if he ends up coming to us. All right, guys, we're coming back. Charles Barkley makes his weekly visit to the show. We'll ask him about the Falcons' first-round pick and much more as we go in the Redmont Zone with Charles Barkley next.
Yeah.
What up, Snailville?
Yeah.
It's Hugh Douglas from The Morning Show. Listen to Will Carroll, injury expert, every Thursday at 9:20 with John Fricke and Hugh Douglas on 92.9 The Game.
We do it each and every Friday, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. We go into the Redmont Zone with Charles Barkley, brought to you by Redmont Vodka and Vulcan Gin. Follow them at Redmont, that's R-E-D-M-O-N-T Zone, on IG. Lots of cool drink ideas as well. Chuck, what's going on, man? It's good to have you back on the show as always. Last night, everybody wanted to see what the Falcons were going to do. Charles, what did you think of the Falcons' first round pick?
Well, they got a guy who's got a really, really great future. I mean, I think most people, other than quarterbacks, he was probably the best player in the draft. I told you, I thought they should go ahead and get a quarterback. They're not going to pick this high no time soon, especially getting Pitts. I mean, they're going to win just enough games not to get a good, what we would say, a lottery pick. So I was surprised they didn't go for the quarterback. But, hey, Pitts is a terrific player.
Yeah, I think we're so jammed up with the cap, Charles. I guess the philosophy was they didn't want to have a dude that was top five sitting there for 2 years. So I guess they'll make more quarterbacks, but I hear you. We'll have to trade up if we kind of find ourselves in draft no man's land next couple years.
Yeah, I always – listen, sometimes you have to take steps backwards. Listen, we talked last week. Hey, much as I love Matt Ryan and Julio, I think you just got to say, hey, you know what, guys? We're not going to win the Super Bowl in the next couple years. Can we trade y'all somewhere where y'all can get a chance to win the Super Bowl? And if they said that to me, I'd be like, hey, that's fair. I've done as much as I can in Atlanta. We both going to be Hall of Famers. But, hey, let's go somewhere we can win the Super Bowl the next couple of years. So it's going to be interesting.
Charles Barkley, our guest, guys, inside the Redmond Zone. Each and every Friday, exclusively here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Dukes and Bell. Want to ask you, any surprises last night as this thing unfolded? I mean, were you like, oh, I can't believe? You know, I think one of the things, everybody thought Justin Fields, you know, was going to go earlier, but then he ends up in Chicago, and Charles, that might be the perfect place for him.
Well, you think so? I actually thought he would have went higher, and the Patriots got lucky getting Mac Jones. They didn't give up anything. He just slid to them. See, for me, Chicago's not very good. And, you know, they got three quarterbacks now. Let's be real. You're not going to win with a rookie. So next year, I'm not sure what they're going to do, because this is probably the last draft picks for those guys who've been running that team, because – you know, they screwed up the whole Trubisky thing. And now, Fields is not going to play next year. So they're kind of in a lame duck situation, to be honest with you.
Charles Barkley's with us, guys. Brought to you by the Redmont Zone. And by the way, thanks, Charles, if that was you who had anything to do with it, dropping off the booze at the office, Carl. We got like a Whitman sampler of vodka and gin back there, man. It's gold. And it's good just in time for the draft. Charles, I mean, we're in a weird world in the NFL where if you get the big quarterback and you pay him all that money, you know, you better win a Super Bowl the next couple of years, because otherwise he just jams you up. It seems like there's even a mindset now, like a guy like Lamar Jackson's going to have to go and earn it this year in his option year.
Yeah, I don't understand these quarterbacks. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't understand why they don't take a little less money. I mean, you go back and look. Tom Brady, who's been in the Super Bowl 10 times, won 7. Go back and look at every quarterback. Go back to Breeze, Joe Flacco, Matt. Every quarterback that's gotten a max deal, their teams never can get back to the Super Bowl, because they give the quarterback so much money. I don't understand, because, you know, I want to throw Drew Brees in there also, because every one of those quarterbacks that won the Super Bowl became the highest paid player, and a team has never recovered because they eat up so much of the cap. I never understood why guys don't tell his agent, hey, man, and it's not much difference between $30 and $35, $32 million. I want to have some help, because, you know, if you start winning, you're going to make up that other $3, $4, $5 million in endorsements. But if you go back and look at every quarterback for the last 10, 12 years, other than Tom Brady, everyone that got a max deal after they have a great run, their team has never been any good anymore. I'm sitting there watching myself, like, why don't a guy, no, you know what? I don't have to be the highest paid quarterback. I want some damn help instead of being the highest paid quarterback. I never understand why some of these quarterbacks don't do what Tom Brady does, to be honest with you.
We are in the Redmond Zone, guys. Again, follow at Redmond, R-E-D-M-O-N-T Zone on IG. Make sure you check them out. And Chuck, I'm gonna take your advice or your because I ain't never seen 30 million. So when you talk about there's not that much difference between 30 and 35, I'm like, well, I want that extra five, but that's me. Hey, let's talk about the NBA.
But I'm saying though, you're gonna make the if you win
you
a couple if you do. Even if you don't win the Super Bowl, but your team is really successful every year, you got between playoff money and commercials, you're going to make up that difference. And yeah. Especially if you're able to win a Super Bowl. But go back and look at every quarterback who won a Super Bowl or had a great year and got a max deal. Other than Tom Brady, none of them have made it back to the Super Bowl.
That's true. Before we shift gears real quick, Aaron Rodgers, this news hit. Mm. Some people say he hijacked the draft yesterday. Is he going to be in Green Bay?
Well, I think Aaron Rodgers, they have insulted Aaron Rodgers. He just hasn't had enough. Because clearly the writing on the wall is, yo, dude, we got you for one more year, then you on your own. And Aaron's like, yeah, that's not going to work for me. I got y'all by the stones right now. Y'all need me. And if y'all not going to give me a contract, because it's really about a contract extension, I think, more than anything. He doesn't want to be in lame duck land because clearly they're going to let him go after next year. The writing's on the wall, and he's trying to be like, no. Y'all either give me a contract extension or y'all trade me. That's all this is to me. He wants a contract extension. Like I say, they made up their mind next year was going to be his last year, and he's not having it. Now, like the dude just coming off MVP, and I'm not going to side with anybody because he's under contract, but he's not saying, I'm not playing one more year for free and then become a free agent. So he kind of just snatched the ball and ran with it.
It's amazing how the NFL, man, it's like a soap opera. It's the best reality show in the world. Charles Barkley joins us here, man. Hey, we are banged up with the Hawks. The Sixers just beat us. Well, they beat us really bad. But who do you like in the East right now? Do you really like the way Doc Rivers has got the Sixers looking?
You know, I think it's three teams that could win the East, and that's it. Brooklyn, Philly, and Milwaukee. I actually like Milwaukee. To be honest with you, because I think they got the deepest team. You know, Brooklyn has the three best offensive players, but they have zero size. And number one, I'm not sure they're ever going to be healthy enough to all play all three of them at the same time. And, like, Philly got Joel, who's a handful, and Ben, who's a handful. But it's going to be, like I say, I actually like Milwaukee, but I actually have no idea who's going to win this thing. It's going to be great to watch, though. It's going to be great to watch because, like I say, I don't think we'd be shocked on either one of them if they won out of three I just mentioned.
Do you think LeBron's more injured than what we think or what we know? I mean, I know AD's back, but, you know, everybody's talking about the Lakers and they're still going to make a run to defend the title. Is he more injured than we think?
No, I think that they just – well, I mean, number one, he is injured. But I think the main thing is, you know, at his age, you really got to be careful because you bring him back too soon and he gets hurt. I mean, because they got a rough road. I mean, right now, based on the season, the end of the day, they played like the Nuggets the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, and listen, we only got about 3 weeks to go before the playoffs start. And if those boys think they're just going to show up the first round, first of all, if they keep losing, they might be in the play-in stuff. You know, they're not totally locked in those top six spots. They lose a couple of games, they could be in the play-in. But like I say, if the season ended today, they play the Denver Nuggets the first round of the playoffs.
Right.
And I'm going to take Denver if they play in the first round of the playoffs.
Hey, by the way, Charles, we didn't ask you, I don't think, yet. Is this play-in game just too gimmicky, just a money grab for the NBA? Or I mean, is this even necessary?
Well, to answer your question, yes, it's a money grab. they're trying to make up. We only playing 72 games, so they're really trying to make some extra money. So it is a cash grab. My problem with that the play-in stuff, so you got the – four worst teams, and they're playing to play the best team. So to answer your question, yes, it's a cash grab. But what is – so your reward for winning the playoff game is to play the best team in the NBA. I'm not sure that's a good enough reward right there. So it's a gimmick. It's a cash grab. But listen, we only playing 72 games. We're all trying to get through this COVID thing together. And like I say, we're all kind of making it up as we go, to be honest with you.
Charles, it's always a pleasure, brother, talking with you, getting your thoughts on things. We go inside the Redmont Zone every Friday, guys. It's brought to you by Redmont Vodka and Vulcan Gin. Check them out. Great weekend to do it. And follow them on IG at Redmont Zone on IG. Chuck, we'll talk to you next week, bro.
All right, guys, thanks for having me. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thanks, boss.
All right, guys. We have been chasing Coach Dan Mullen from Florida. We got him. He's going to join us next on Dukes and Bell to talk about Kyle Pitts. What are we getting? If anybody knows, it's Coach Dan Mullen. He joins us next on Dukes and Bell.
What up, Snailville?
Yeah.
It's Hugh Douglas from The Morning Show. Listen to Will Carroll, injury expert, every Thursday at 9:20 with John Frickin and Hugh Douglas on 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell, and our city's excited about our latest addition to our Atlanta Falcons. And the guy that's on the waitforward.com hotline, which is Atlanta's forward dealer, knows a little bit about the guy that we selected last night. It's Coach Dan Mullen from the Florida Gators. And, Coach, we really appreciate the time. I know you are enjoying some R&R. So to take a few minutes for us here on Dukes and Bell, we really appreciate it, Coach. But Atlanta wants to know a few things about Kyle Pitts and maybe learn a little bit more about him. Coach, I want to ask, first thing is, what makes him so special in your mind?
Well, I think you look at it, you know, he has this unbelievable physical skill set. And, you know, if you start there with, you know, he's hard to match up on. He has great size and length. So if you're a smaller DB or smaller defensive player, he's just going to go over the top on you. He's just going to be too physical, too long, too big a catch radius, and be able to just go. You know, I mean, you're going to have an accurate quarterback, and he's going to put the ball where the DB's not. The DB just, he's going to be too long to get there. And then if you go put a bigger guy on him, so okay, we're going to try to put a bunch of size on him. Well, then he's got speed and quickness to go run away from you, and you know he can run. He can be a great route runner. He can go up over the top on you and be physical, and then he can beat you after the catch. And so, he's a guy who can score touchdowns and make a lot of explosive plays for an offense. And as a coach, he's an unbelievable fun weapon to have.
Did you recruit him? How'd he get to Gainesville?
Yeah, so when I got hired at Florida, he was committed to Florida. We went up, and I went up to visit with his parents up in Philadelphia. We flew up there, and, they said, hey, you know, Kyle really wants to go to Florida. What's your idea for him coming in as a new coach? And what do you see the offense going to be like? And I said, well, you know, the first thing we got to do is try to create matchups out there on the field and move people around. And I said, you know, with his athletic ability, he's got to be ready to go play at multiple spots. I'm not going to just put his hand on the ground on the line tight end. I'm going to move him all over the field. To do that, he's got to be go use all of his size and his athletic ability as a mismatch. And, you know, when he got to us, you know, so he came down and you know, really his first year with us, he played mostly wide receiver. Majority of the time he played out of wide receiver. We had you know, three senior tight ends. And we used him and he kind of learned the game that way. And I think that helped him over the next 2 years as an All-SEC, All-American tight end. As a guy then that just, you know, he then had that skill set. You know, if you watched him play in college, he was all over the field, you know. And so when you do that, and, you know, the defense's biggest worry is, okay, we got to stop 84. And he's playing at, you know, he's playing at tight end. He's playing at H-back. He's playing in the slot. He's playing at the X receiver. He's playing at the Z receiver. You got to find him, and then that causes an awful lot of problems for the defense.
It's Dan Mullen, guys, head coach of the Florida Gators here on Dukes and Bell as we talk about Kyle Pitts, the newest addition to our Atlanta Falcons. Coach, now, you were the offensive coordinator there when Florida won a national championship. I don't think anybody will question your offensive, you know, football acumen and all the players you've seen and had. Where's this guy rate?
Well, he's right up there at the top. You know, to be honest with you, at non-quarterback position, which, you know, you look at those guys to me a little bit different. You know, the two best offensive players I've seen that were not quarterbacks that I've coached were really Kyle Pitts and Percy Harvin, you know, and those are two guys that can change the game, and they have flexibility to play multiple positions. You move them around, you know, and every time the ball's in the air or headed in their direction, everybody in the stadium's holding their breath because they could score at any time. And, you know, so, you know, he's that good of a player, and I think he will make, you know, you look at a team and you look at what the Falcons have, you know, when you have a veteran quarterback and a Matt Ryan, that, you know what, he can put the ball where it needs to. And he can get you into the right play, make the right decision. And then you add the weapons. You know, I was just looking at that last night. I don't, you know, defensive coaches can't really be happy because who are you going to double on that team, you know? And if you're going to double everybody, I guess they just run the ball. You know, I mean, somebody's going to be singled up. And when you have a veteran guy like a Matt Ryan, that he's going to be able to find that matchup.
Dan Mullins with us, guys, head coach of the Gators. And it seems like everything we've heard, he seems like a great kid. A leader on the Gator team?
Absolutely. You know what? I mean, I think what people don't understand, you know, he's right sometimes, he's 20 years old. He doesn't turn 21 till next fall. So he'll play his first NFL game and still only be 20 years old. So I wonder what he's going to be like when he grows up and matures, you know, physically. No, he's a hard worker, great young man, comes from a great family, works at the game, puts in all the extra time, you know, kind of always he plays with, believe it or not, for, you know, all the accolades he's got, he plays with a little chip on his shoulder and still, and that's what you want. He has that hunger and that drive and I don't think that's going to stop. I think that's going to continue when he gets here in the NFL.
Coach, we still need a backup quarterback to Matt Ryan. I know your quarterback is still available, and tell us about Kyle Trask. This was an interesting quarterback draft to begin with, but you talk about excelling in your program and showing the country what he had. Boy, he had an amazing year.
He really did, you know, and I think everybody, you know, what's really funny is if he went back in time 15 years, he might have been the first quarterback taken in the draft, you know, one or two. As you know, hey, this 6'5" pocket passer. And, you know, I think a lot of people now, and it's kind of funny, I guess, for me to say this, because everybody, you know, associates me with all these dual threat quarterbacks.
Right.
But to me, I want quarterbacks that are winners. I want quarterbacks that can, you know, we're going to build around their strengths. So the great thing Kyle has, I mean, at 6'5", 240 pounds, he's not a dynamic athlete that he gets mistaken for a dual threat guy, but he's extremely athletic to me in the pocket area, sliding, shifting, finding lanes, moving. And he's an extremely accurate quarterback. So, you know, I would imagine, you know, I mean, I would think Atlanta would be a great place for him, great fit for him, in that he's going to come in and, you know, I mean, I don't know Matt really well, so I don't want him to get upset at me, but you're not mistaking him for a dynamic dual threat runner.
Right.
The offense is going to kind of be built around a guy that is going to be extremely intelligent, extremely accurate with the ball, and that can create and get the ball to these playmakers that you create mismatches with, and that's what Kyle Trask can do.
It is Dan Mullen. Before we let you go, Coach, head coach of the Gators, also Kadarius Toney, as you had two Gators go in the first round. I mean, is the college game now setting up quarterbacks and these wide receivers for the NFL better than ever now with the offenses you're running?
They're looking at the playmakers that are out there and their ability to score points. And, you know, these guys, you know, one of the things that's hard for me right now, I got to figure out who's going to score touchdowns, because with Kadarius Toney and Kyle Pitts going, you know, in the first round, there were a lot of touchdowns scored between those two. And they were really good receivers, but they found a way to put the ball in the end zone. And it is, you know, KT, you know, it is. It's, I think, guys, it's looking at matchups. It's that back and forth. You know, you look, so much of the college game has gone up to the NFL level, but a lot of the NFL level game has come down to the college about creating the mismatches, you know, about moving guys to different spots or on the field. And so I think kind of that going back and forth has led to maybe more of an offensive explosion of the desire to get these playmakers in college and that they fit right away into the NFL game.
Coach, before we let you go, I got one more, and this is it, because I know, again, you're R&R, and we really appreciate you taking
time.
Some time.
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously, no, I mean, when my guys called
you. Yeah, I'm trying to get my handicap down. This is handicap season, right?
Hey, I hear you, and we're working on ours, too. Coach, name, likeness, image, your thoughts on this. Where are you at on this whole thing? Because everybody's freaking out in college football about it.
Well, here's the issue is, do the players deserve the ability – to get the ability to profit off their name, image, and likeness, yes. They deserve the ability to make more money, yes. They absolutely do. I think one of the tricky parts is I don't think anybody would disagree with that, that they don't deserve that right. The question is how, and I think that is the one that has everybody stumped, is what, you know, are they're college amateur athletes getting a scholarship. And, so they get a scholarship, they get cost of attendance, they get, you know, books and fees and the educational aspect of things. But there's the opportunity for more for them to do that. And how do you do it within the realm of amateur athletics, if you will? And I think that's what has everybody stumped. So I'm all for it. I think it's well-deserved. I know. Hopefully, I know there was a hiccup yesterday, but hopefully we're working to having that resolved and have the players get the ability this summer to profit off their name, image, and likeness in the state of Florida. Right. I think for the well-being of college football, it wouldn't be bad to have a national rule or law or how to go about it, but how we define that is really interesting and I don't know if I've seen the best way, you know, yet. If anybody has ideas, I think everybody should be shouting them out. Hey, how about we try it this way? Because it's something that's different. It's something that's new. And I think even once it starts going into effect, it's going to be something that's going to take a little bit of time to adjust to and tweak and get it so it does what it's meant to do. For the student athletes.
Right. Devil's in the details. I hear you, Coach. Well, hit them straight. As Carl said, we really do appreciate you breaking down Kyle Pitts' game, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah. My golf score is like our offense sometimes. There's a lot of points being put up there on the board. There's some high numbers out there. So.
I hear you, Coach. Hey, thank you again. We'll talk soon. Dan Mullen, everybody, Florida Gators head coach on Kyle Pitts and a lot more. We'll talk to you soon. All right, guys, we got plenty more to get to, including our NFL blitz. The Packers now saying they will what? It's coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.